I want to lead us in a time of prayer. And one of the things that we acknowledge today is that this week, just in our church alone, we've seen the full span of human existence, from the joy of welcoming a new little baby. And Karen, your sister, had her baby, and her name is baby Austin Arlene May. And so we welcome a brand new life into the world, a story that is yet to be written and is being written right now. We also mourn with Cecilia, and we're so glad that you and Tim are here today, the loss of your mother this past week, 96 years old, Molly, and so we have the full span of life, human existence, in just one week in our church family. And there are so many things that we could add into that mix, people celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and other forms of grief. So I'd like to take us into this time of prayer where we just unburden our hearts before God, our Lord, our Maker. So will you pray with me? Father, we acknowledge that our lives are lived often in the highs and the lows, and many times it's the middles, all those things that occur each week. We acknowledge the gift of new life through the birth of a new baby. And we also acknowledge the finality of death through the loss of a loved one. We acknowledge the relationships that have seen significant milestones in this past week. And we also acknowledge those relationships that are a little fractured right now. God, you have ultimate power to bind things together that are broken, to restore what in our eyes and in our world seems impossible. And yet this has been your plan from the beginning. And the cool thing about it is that you choose to use us, the church, to be a source of hope, to be a source of strength for those in need, to be, as we've looked at these past few weeks, those who seek to bless you and this world. God, we all want to draw deeper into your presence, and the joy that can be ours that you give to us when we come close into your presence, we want that for other people in our life. Later on, as we share your meal at this table up front, we have all of the names of the people that have been committed to you, all of the situations as we've journeyed in this 5 weeks through Bless. God, we once again lay those names before you, that you would continue to be at work in the lives of the over 170 people up here that are listed, that you will continue to reveal yourself in a new and impactful way. And God, I know that you have us here for a purpose. Each person, we might be that person that is able to make that connection so that others can come back into your loving arms, finding their way back to you. God, that is our hope. That is our prayer. May you allow us the privilege as your church to join you in this mission. We ask all of this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to acknowledge that we are in the final week of this five-week series, and as we explore God's Word a little bit more and then come to the table, we acknowledge that to be a blessing to the world is a high calling. And it truly is a joy when we get to engage this world in those ways. It's not about us. In fact, blessing never points to us, even though God might choose to use you as a conduit for his blessing, but it's to help others point their way back to Christ, to find their way back into the arms of God who loves them so much that he's never willing to leave them, but he allows us to leave his presence. The good news is that God will never give up on you and never gives up on the people that you're praying for, even if it means praying for decades. Every now and then, there are those aha moments. It's a phrase that I really like. You know, those aha times in your life where you have what some people might call an awakening or an epiphany. Maybe it's a new idea, or it's something that happens where the light bulb just kind of turns on. Maybe you've experienced something like that. Maybe those of you that have raised children, you've seen your child have an aha moment and you rejoice, and then maybe the bulb dims for a bit and you're like, oh, please, Lord, turn that light back on. Don't give up. Keep praying. Suddenly something will make sense and there is newfound energy that wasn't there before. When I was growing up, I was what you would call a typical church kid, maybe even a stereotypical church kid. I went to church, sometimes against my will, and I was made to sit in the second row on the right-hand side, right behind where Roxy's sitting, and that was the spot where I had to sit every week growing up. And I had a stable family. I had brothers and sisters. I went to summer camp. It's where I was first introduced to Jesus. And I was a church kid. But one of the things that I came to understand is that I didn't really feel like it inside. And I felt like the faith that I was learning wasn't really my own and hadn't really taken hold in my heart. When I moved away to go to school, I was so excited to be 500 miles away from my family for the first time, until I wasn't so excited. I became very aware of how lonely I felt, and I became depressed, and I began to search for what was missing in my life and to fill it with anything that would fill that loneliness, that hole that I felt. I wasn't sure where my life was going. I just know that I was adrift. And it would take an act of God to steady my ship. I got married 19 years ago tomorrow to a wonderful woman who, when I met her, the semester after I met her was the first time I pulled a 4.0 ever, because I knew that I needed to study if I wanted to spend any time with her. And less than 6 months later, after we got married, we moved down to Mississippi, a hot, sticky place where I was convinced I was going to shrivel up into a raisin. My Nordic blood was going to boil away, and I was just going to be a shell of myself. And I did lose some weight that year. And it was in this place, this hot, sticky place, the crippling humidity of a 90-90 day, 90% humidity, 90 degrees and warmer, that I encountered the loving God that I had first heard as a child. In March of 2001, at a morning church service not unlike this, a man looked me in the eye and said, "The Spirit is strong in you." There was no sermon that I heard. There was no information about Jesus that I was more aware of that connected me closer to God in that moment than someone looking me in the eye and saying, "I see something in you." And in that moment, I was overcome. I don't know if I passed out. I know I was on the floor for a moment. and I was filled with the Spirit as never before. That was my aha moment. And it's the moment that has motivated my life ever since. It's the moment that drives me every single day to serve you, so that you can experience, and those you love and are praying for can experience, those same kind of aha moments where your life has changed and will never be the same. One of the first things I did was use the little money that we didn't have to buy a Bible, this Bible, in fact. And I wrote the date of March 2001 just to remind myself. And I put a little sticker. And what is that sticker, if you can see it? It's just a little lamb. It's a little sticker of a lamb to remind me of whose I was. And that was one of the first things that I did after coming to this awakening and awareness that God loved me, was to buy a Bible and to start to read it with fresh eyes for the very first time. Eventually, and this is not a short story, we became members at a local church, and I took the public step of being baptized. And that day felt like the first day of the rest of my life, even more important than my birthday. Unfortunately, the very day after I was baptized, I fell off the wagon hard, very publicly. And it was a huge embarrassment to me. And it was a huge embarrassment to my family. But you know what? God said, I'm not done with you. I've just started. And it was in that moment that I recognized that we're not what our mistakes are. And those aha moments might be those mountaintop experiences for you, but when you're on the mountaintop, eventually you will come off the mountain at some point. For me, it happened very quickly. And then God said, what are you doing? Get your life together. There are joys. There are sorrows. I still have questions about how God is at work in the world. I get frustrated and make mistakes like anyone does. But today I'm still on the path that God has me on. You know this, that the path that God has you on is not easy, and it can be lonely, and it can come against so much of what the world will tell you. But I also know that I want to help others find their way back to God, like God helped me find my way back to Him as well. And I look forward to those new moments when God breaks into your life and the people with which you live and work and play with, those that you are praying fervently for, so that we can rejoice as everyone gets to experience their own aha moments. In Bless, this is a simple series that's not so simple. And we've looked at five practices that we are engaging with so that we can learn to bless this world, the people that we are naturally living and working and playing with. And as we learn to bless, we are participating in the grand mission of God that He has us on, to be sources of blessing, so that people will come to experience that aha moment and return to God, the one who created every person on this planet. We began with prayer 5 weeks ago, and we asked, Lord, who and how do you want me to bless your world today? We moved into listening with care, where we learned to become people who listen more and talk less. We carefully invest in the struggles and pain and heartaches of other people. We understand the context. We start to listen and ask questions. We moved to eat or experiencing things together a couple of weeks ago to help build genuine relationships with people. And last week, we explored serving with love, where we look to meet the needs of the people in our life in real and practical ways, whether big or small. And now we add the final S, which sort of ties the whole word together, the missional practice of sharing your story. When we share the story of God's presence and work in our lives, We do something that very few things in life can do. You see, stories have that power to draw you in. Who doesn't love a good story, whether it's a book or a particular movie or something that is just compelling? The Bible all throughout is the story of God. And in the Bible, there are so many stories of people whose lives were transformed by their connection to and interaction with Jesus and with the God of the universe. One of Jesus' original followers, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, and he records his story of his experience with Jesus. But at the very end of his life, around 85 or 90 AD, he's an old dude at this time. This is kind of his last act as a disciple. He writes some letters for the church. And he wants to stress the importance and necessity of sharing this story of good news. He says, "Why must we share this news?" He wants to tie his experience or our experience to the story of God because it helps connect other people to the best story in the world. As an eyewitness, John knew the value that sharing what Jesus had done for him and how he had made a difference would begin to make a difference in the lives of other people. And I'm sure it did throughout his entire life. But he wanted this to go forth to the entire church, that by that point in human history, some 60 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, had been scattered to the four winds because of persecution and all sorts of other forces. And we think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it actually was one of the best things for the church. It spread it far beyond what we could have ever done on our own and imagined by being forced outward into the world. John begins his letter, and I'm just going to read the first four verses of the letter of 1 John. He starts really strong, and he says this: "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." Jesus, when he was here on earth earlier, had said that my joy may be made complete in you, or perfected in you. John wants us to know that we serve and worship an at-work God. He's not at rest. He is not silent. He is always working on our behalf, drawing us and the world back to himself. You might be praying for those people in your life, and it seems like nothing is happening. Nothing is working through. I'm sure that my parents prayed for me for many years, thinking, "What's he doing? Screwing around, wasting his life." And then that moment, aha, and everything changed. John says that Jesus came as life itself. And it was a life that John saw, heard, and touched. And it changed his life forever. This new life that he experienced in Jesus, it is revealed. It's not hidden. It's a gift meant to be shared together by sharing life together. Why would we ever want to receive the joy of Christ and just want to be like, "Oh man, I feel so good"? What did we sing earlier? I will not be silent. I cannot be silent. John learned that that joy is the only joy that will fill and sustain those who are searching for fulfillment. We live, brothers and sisters, in a world that's searching, that wants to be filled. And perhaps, I don't know, I'm sure every generation has said this, perhaps has never been emptier. This is the world we live in. And by sharing your story, you help people see another piece of the sweeping epic that is God's redemption and restoration story. I want to read Romans 10. It says this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. One of the reasons we want to be a blessing is to be people of good news, not bad news. Let's stop being the church of bad news. And when I say church, I mean Big C Church. We have enough bad news. Let's be the church of good news, the one that Christ calls us to be. A good story has amazing power, whether it's in the Bible or it's stories that you engage with, including your own. Stories have that power that can inspire us, perhaps in ways that we didn't think were possible. They move us to do the impossible. They can motivate us to move in a different way, and they can nurture us to grow in lasting ways. Somehow stories have that ability to connect us in ways that almost nothing else can. A story, in fact, can make all the difference. It did so for one young lady named Jill. Jill was a self-described atheist who felt that you had to be simple-minded and uninformed to believe in Jesus. Only suckers believed in Jesus, I think was how I heard it said. And then everything changed for her. And if you asked her how that change in her happened, she would tell you that it wasn't the intellectual or philosophical arguments for faith in Christ. In fact, knowing more info about Jesus didn't change her life at all because she never had any trouble dismissing those arguments. She wouldn't even listen to them. It wasn't saying or hearing, just believe, that swayed her. What she would tell you is that a close friend of hers told her the story of how Jesus had impacted her life. And at first, Jill said she didn't know what to do with that at all. It just kind of sat there inside of her, tugging at her. And when she wrote a later reflection on this, she said, it was like my friend's story lived in my heart and mind for years, but I didn't know what to do with it. And it was in those moments when she wrestled with the idea of a God that loved her. It was that story that her friend had told her that made all the difference and changed her life. She became aware without realizing it that she had actually already taken some steps closer to Christ without even realizing it. She wasn't aware that it had happened. And her story was not an instantaneous change, as so many people experience, but a long, patient process of the living, active presence of God at work in her life, and then suddenly breaking through in a new way. A story can make all the difference. Sharing how Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life may come because of that relationship that you are working right now to develop and nurture. That person that you're connecting with in a new way, maybe it's that person at the gym or someone that you work with, that person that you're always running into. And your loving, repeated presence in their life will start to build trust. It will start to decrease fear and suspicion that they might have. And it will guide you to those Spirit-led moments See, we have to be wise about how we share our story and what we share in our story. Not everything is fit for first-time consumption. There's a difference between being vulnerable and transparent. Not everything is appropriate to be shared. I want you to know that the Spirit of God is not just preparing you to share your story, but the Spirit of God is preparing the hearts of those that you will be called to share your story. And that preparation process will overcome any fear or trepidation that you have because you are connecting with people that you've already developed a relationship with. This is not just walking randomly and pulling someone aside and saying, you know that Jesus loves you, although you might be called to do that too. I'm certainly not going to dissuade you from that. But for the vast majority of people who struggle with sharing their story, you want to be prepared. God will bring connections into your life, and these are not coincidences or accidents. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again some future Sunday. You may be the only reflection of Jesus that someone ever sees or sees that day. Be good news, not bad news. You might be intimidated or uncomfortable, but there's something amazing about the joy of Christ that fills within you. It has this uncanny ability to overcome our instincts. If your instinct is to flee, something about the joy of the Lord has this ability to overcome that, to give you confidence that, yeah, this is my story. I can tell it, and God is leading me to tell it in this instance. All you have to have is a willingness to do so. When you have a willingness, there's nothing else that you have to do. Actually, God does all the work. You're just presenting a few more words and your presence. God will provide the natural and the normal opportunities to do so. In fact, Jesus has already empowered his followers to do so, to fulfill God's mission to bless the world. What does the very beginning of Acts say? Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends and to the ends of the earth, and even that town next to you that you don't really like. Be confident that God is preparing you to share your story, because he's simultaneously preparing the heart of another person to receive it. The Holy Spirit will guide you, and the practice that you've put in beforehand will prepare you. Over these last few weeks, we've already started to talk about and practice this. You've prayed for the people that God has placed in your life. That's preparing you for that moment. You've begun to listen to the detail and nuance of their story by noticing the words, the images, the tone with which they speak. Context matters, my friends, regardless of what we see in our world. We've shared experiences together and eaten together, and you are finding appropriate ways to serve other people in big and small ways. In all of those actions, you are demonstrating the love of Christ to another, and you are building an authentic relationship where there's the hope that someone will trust you enough to receive the words that God gives you. That relationship that you're building with someone, perhaps it's the people that you wrote on those bookmarks 5 weeks ago, or maybe it's someone else that the Lord has brought to your mind. It's that relationship together with the prompting of the Holy Spirit that will provide you just the right opportunity. And you'll have this sense that I have to do this right now. In fact, I'm compelled to do it. Or maybe it will be I'm compelled to do something else that the Lord has put on my heart. Whenever that is, share the story of how God has made a difference in your life. You don't have to force it. You don't have to say things that don't apply to you. It's your story and your experience of God at work in your life. Allow the Spirit to work, my friends. Remember that as you are sharing, God still sees the whole picture. He sees the whole span and in the timing that he has already prepared and planned for. He has the long game in view. So don't give up. Keep at it. Now, there are many ways to share. We listed in the bulletin. On the back of the insert, there's one idea that's listed on here. And there's many ways for you to share. For those of you for whom it's not natural to talk to someone else, introverts, you listen. I know, because I am one as well. It's probably best to think about what you're going to say before you say it so you don't panic in the moment. One idea is listed on this insert. It arranges your story like a three-act play. Before, during, and after or now. For before, some of the questions, what did your life look like before you encountered God? What did your life look like before committing yourself to Jesus? What was missing? What were you searching for? Any of those can be helpful questions. For the during piece, how were you led back to God? What happened to bring you to believe in Jesus Christ? Perhaps it was that thing that you were searching for, that crisis you were going through. Maybe that was the way that God brought you back. In the after or now piece, what difference has following Jesus made in your life? What did you do differently? What does your life look like now? Because I'll promise you this, you can commit your life to Christ, and it can change everything, but not every day is going to be rainbow and sunshine. That's life. And God says, I'm with you all the way. No matter what's happening, no matter what you do, no matter how many good things you do or how many mistakes you make, I'm with you. Share your story. Some of you might not right now might be struggling to believe that your story is worthy of being shared. You're thinking, why would anyone want to hear my story? Maybe your story feels too messy or doesn't feel exciting or flashy enough. Maybe you didn't have, you know, the powerful light show and do the 180 converting your life to Christ moment. So I want you to hear this. Your story is worthy and necessary. Telling your story is worthy and necessary because what you have gone through and what you have experienced that has brought you back into the arms of God might resonate with that one other person that particular day. The things that Rebecca and I have gone through in our 19 plus years of being together are different than what you've had to go through. And maybe that connects us to certain people or to certain other stories in different ways, and your story does the same thing. That's one of those cool parts of being a human. Amen. Your story is worthy of telling. Your story is a blessing. It's a gift that you share that can resonate with other people. If you struggle to think that your story has any value, then know that it is worthy and valuable and necessary, because that's what God says you are, worthy and valuable and necessary. Your story doesn't have to be big or dramatic to make an impact, because when real lasting change happens, it's always a miracle. So whether you know it or not, your story already has a miracle somewhere in there. You just have to figure out how to communicate that to the people that God puts into your path. Now, your story might not follow a nice, neat pattern like before, during, and after. Sometimes you're going to have wrong turns and side trips and missteps, and you might even get lost again like I did. But just know that whatever the framework that you choose to tell your story, it's your story. For me, coming back into the arms of God led me to start reading my Bible again. and also to realize that not every day was a good day. If you're struggling to see that pattern in your story or thinking about what you might say as you share, perhaps think of a time when God answered a prayer for you and how it changed you. Or perhaps there's a significant moment in your life where the presence of God was undeniable. What did that feel like for you? When you share how that felt for you, that might really resonate with someone else that said, wow, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I have had a similar feeling. Just keep it real and keep it simple. And since your story is still unfolding, you don't have to skip over all of the messy stuff. Although you might have to figure out how best to share that. Since we're on sharing our story today, I thought it would be really great to have Peter up. You know, he's been on a time of renewal, a renewal Sabbath for the last 8 weeks, and God has been working in his life. And so if you'd want to come up and kind of share a little bit about what God has been showing you in these last weeks. Thank you, Peter, for sharing the latest pages. And that's the cool thing about our story. Even though we know what our end is in Christ, the pages between now and then are still being written. And he said, you know, he's back, he's ready to jump in. But I also want to assure you and ask you that we are going to be very good about helping build those healthy rhythms in, not just for Peter, but for all of us. This is something, you know, helping us to be all in better balance, I think, is something that we can all benefit from. You know, when you share your story, or even a piece of your story, it all starts with being willing to tell it. It doesn't have to be anything that's scary. You don't have to be nervous about it. You know, I'm glad that you had some notes. You know, I have notes. Sometimes that helps kind of guide your thoughts. And it's you. And it's your words. And they matter. And if you think that you could never do something, if you've never gotten up front before, then as soon as you think those words, that's probably the moment that God is going to say, well, I'm going to show you now who's actually really in power. And I'm going to show you what you can do. And I'm going to give you a God-sized task because I know that on your own, you probably can't do it. But with God, you can. I encourage you to ask God to give you opportunities to share your story. Look for those times and places and people where he can, where you can be open to connecting with someone new. Ask God to bring people into your life. Pray for that. Of all the things that we bring to God, what could we ask for more than that he bless others by giving us a chance to share the story of how God has made a difference in our life? I know that some of you struggle with this. So one of the things that I did is I put together just a little, some more detailed questions. And I have a stack of them. I'll leave them on the table by the front door. And it just gives you some more starting points on ways that you can help reflect on how to share your story. Maybe some questions to help guide your thoughts or figure out, okay, how can I do this in my real life? I want to pray for us. And as we pray, before we come to the table, know that as you come to the table this morning, it is Christ himself who is feeding you and blessing you and doing so in a powerful way so that you can be sent forth out into the world to be a blessing. So will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus, that you revealed yourself through the Word, that all of your story was recorded for our benefit. God, will you help continue to show us as your people how our story connects and is valuable and integrated into your story? God, bless this group of people. Prepare our hearts now as we prepare to receive this meal at the table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned that on the table this morning we have all of the bookmarks, and I turned them over so that You can't see any of the names on them. But just know that we're offering all of the names of people that you've been praying for. Some of you listed situations that are going on in your life. They have been prayed for over these 5 weeks. These people, not only are you praying for them, but others, and know that our church as well is praying for you. When we come to the table, this is always a privilege for us to receive this meal. It's our custom at Edgewater that you don't have to be a formal member of Edgewater. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. If you've put your faith in him, then you are welcome to receive this meal from him. If you would like to put your faith in him right now, all you have to say is, Jesus, I believe in you. You are my Lord and Savior. I will trust in you from this day forward until for the rest of my life. Now change me. And if you say those words in Jesus' name, please come forward and receive and be fed. When you come forward, we ask you to come up the center and you can grab a piece of the bread, you can dip it in the cup, return to your seat, and then when all have been fed, we'll share this meal together. I want to read just a few words for us. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And I know in part of my story, I shared how I had one of those eye-opening moments. And not just opening my eyes, but also opening my eyes in a fresh way to the Word of God in a way that I had never experienced. And I had spent years in the church. May God do that for you as well. It is Christ himself who invites you to his table. And at this table, he will give himself to you and lead you into a deeper fellowship with one another. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We have a cup, and I've asked Peter to help me today. If you would pour the cup, and let me read these words. These are delivered by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. One of the awesome things about taking communion each month, it reminds us that God is not done with us, that your story is still being written, that you are significant and you still have a part to play, and God is calling you to it. So let's pray for this meal and then we'll serve you. Father, we ask for an anointing of your Spirit in this moment. We offer these gifts from your creation, this bread and this cup. Will you bless them? May they nourish us as the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you open our eyes and send us forth out into the world that you created so that we can be a blessing to this wonderful world? We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you go out into the world this week, know that you go blessed. God has said so in his word. Let me read these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, my brothers and sisters. Have a great week.